This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
Yes, the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also, Sirius XM Channel 80, wherever you get your podcasts, your smart speaker. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Even those, even the unidentified flying objects are in our airspace. That still, I say, it's like a 20% chance those could be aliens. Like, you know, it's under 50-50, but like, there's a little chance there. Pentagon doesn't know what they are, still. Even they can get the Max Kellerman Show. They're probably listening right now, bringing these pearls, these bits of wisdom back to their civilization. How do you think they got so advanced in the first place? They used to only be kind of advanced, and they came here, they listened to the Max Kellerman Show, went back to their civilization. Should see the way they think about sports up there. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join me on the Goodyear Hotline, 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Okay, LeBron calls out Lakers haters and then deletes the tweet. Keep talking about my squad, our personnel ages, the way he plays. He stays injured. We're past our time in this league, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Please do me one favor. Please, and I mean please. Three exclamation points after the second. Oh, wait, four after the first, please. Three after the second. They're both in all caps. Please. So that's let me do it right. Do me one favor. Please. And I mean, please, you have to do the second one a little less because there are only three exclamation points. Keep that same narrative energy when it begins. That's all I ask. Do people understand when you use an exclamation point, it's not just emphasis. It's like you're yelling it. I hate the exclamation point. And, you know, I have to use it. I hated these people. They put exclamation points in every text and email. And it was impressed upon me by someone in the business eventually. A couple years ago, like, Max, you got to use more exclamation points. I'm like, it's ridiculous. That's to say hello to it. They're like, yeah, because nowadays, if you don't do it, people think you're mad at them. So now, after every letter I type, I put 16 exclamation points. It's ridiculous. Anyway, the question is, why did LeBron delete that tweet? If not the tweet itself, the tweet itself is garden variety athlete looking for motivation tweet. Heard someone say something negative and wants to hang his hat on that because he's looking, he has internal motivation, like he's self-motivated, but also looking for external motivation. Let me get myself going. As I said in hour one, I remember in 1990, gather around, young children, Uncle Max has a story to tell you. In 1998, toward the end of the past century, in a game we used to watch called baseball, the New York Yankees had the greatest season ever. 125 wins, swept the World Series, were favored wire to wire, and destroyed everyone that season. Greatest team ever. And at the end of the year, I remember Derek Jeter, their greatest player, saying, no one believed in us or something like that. I'm like, come on, Jeet. Everyone, you were favored bell to bell, and you'd crushed everyone. Your past at the all-time win record, swept the World Series. Everyone believed in you. As soon as the team traded for Chuck Knobloch, everyone's like, oh, that's going to be a problem. So, guys, like even on powerhouse teams like the Lakers, Derek Jeter with the Yankees, LeBron with the Lakers, they're always looking for motivation. Tom Brady used me as motivation. He tweets about falling off the cliff. His team put out a whole thing, a whole video, and I'm one of the people talking about how old he is and everything. What the hell does Tom Brady care about that I think that because every quarterback at the age of 41 ever has been no good and he would be one of them? And he defied the odds and by a whole lot. He cares that I think that people get old and he will also get old. Yeah, but because these athletes on this level, on LeBron's level, they're extremely internally motivated. But if you can get a little extra externally from the world outside you, why not? So I understand the tweet itself. That's whatever. He's saying, hey, you doubt it. I mean, most people are picking the Lakers to get out of the West. Just pointing out, they are old. That's legitimate. With age comes increased injury risk and usually diminished athleticism and athletic ability. And, you know, they sacrificed some defense to bring in some shooting, and they hung their hat on their defense last year. I actually think the defense is going to be really good because I think the three players who get the most minutes are actually all capable of being very good defenders. Russell Westbrook is athletic as hell still, can be disruptive on defense. LeBron James is capable of playing great defense, and Anthony Davis is a great defender. So those guys getting the bulk of their minutes can defend. So Wayne Ellington and, you know, Marc Gasol will be challenged in certain ways, but all right, Carmelo Anthony will be challenged. Yeah, usually a team has a weak spot or two on defense, even if they're good defensively. That's not the – no, that's a big deal. The big deal is that LeBron deleted the tweet. Why did he do that? Why did he draw attention to the tweet by deleting it? He thought better of it? There's nothing controversial in it. No one's going to be offended by it. Not that LeBron would get canceled, but like, there's nothing in there that would really cause him a problem. The worst thing about it is that it's garden variety. The worst thing about it is it's not that interesting. That, yeah, LeBron, I see, you're looking for motivation, but actually most people aren't doubting you, but they're correct to point out you don't have a perfect team because a perfect team doesn't exist. I think the Nets should be favored to win the title. The Lakers, number two. And the Nets have the greatest offense ever if they're healthy, but they'll be defensively challenged. No one's perfect. So there's nothing wrong with the tweet. There's nothing bad about the tweet that it would need to be deleted. Why would he delete it? Does anyone have a theory? Here's a theory. I don't even think it's right, but I'll give you a theory. He is playing three or four, whatever, dimensional chess. He wants to draw attention to it. And the way to do that is not the tweet itself, because there's nothing in it that interesting. But if you delete it, now people are like, oh, wait, why did he delete the tweet? And it'll lead a show like this one. 888-SAY-ESPN-729-3776. Andre in Massachusetts, what's your theory?
Yeah, what's going on, Max? Listen, Don Corleone told Sonny when he opened his mouth at that meeting at Genco Oil, okay, you don't ever tell anybody outside the family
what you're thinking again.
What you're thinking.
Yeah, what's the matter
okay?
with you?
And so that's why LeBron deleted the tweet, because he evidenced some of the emotions that he had in relation to the response of all these deals. Yeah, the Lakers, they got better. They have a lot of depth, okay? But they're all in the same AARP category. All right, and they're
but wait, Andre, that your theory doesn't make sense. I'll tell you why. It doesn't address the question I have, which is by deleting it, you have now drawn attention to it. By itself, it doesn't get that much attention. It's not that controversial. There's nothing in it that interesting. But when you delete it, you draw attention to it. So when Don Corleone told Sonny, never tell anyone outside the family what you're thinking again. What's the matter with you? Your brain's going soft with that girl you're messing around with. He said that for a good reason, because he didn't want Salazzo to know, have the information. He was right. Salazzo tried to bump him off so that Sonny would make the deal with him. In this case, by deleting it, you're saying, well, he let the cat out of the bag when LeBron sent out the tweet in the first place, thought better of it. Once the cat's out of the bag, by deleting it, you'd bring more attention to it. That's what I'm saying. Now, well, Raj is trying to get his Zoom back. Oh, I have to reconnect on Zoom?
No, we're going to call the 1-800-SNITCH line, Max. B, okay. Do you see Max on Zoom? Do you see Max?
I just left because you got a text saying reconnect on Zoom.
Zoom's doing great.
Yeah, and my Zoom's doing fine. We don't see you.
I have a text from Raj Grobe saying reconnect on Zoom. So I deleted the Zoom. And then I exited, and now I'm logging back on, Raj.
That doesn't make any sense, Max. Just log back on.
That's what I exited because you told me to reconnect. I thought I had to reconnect.
No, you exited. I told you to reconnect because B and I noticed you were frozen on Zoom. So something is wrong with your connection.
Nothing
sir.
Wrong with. Well, actually, now that you're saying it, it's making me wait.
Yeah.
So maybe there is something wrong with my connection.
We'll just call Keyshawn, and you can do. But what do you think about what Aaron Rodgers said?
Well, thank you very much, Raj. Aaron Rodgers, let's play the sound, Raj, and then I'll react to it and I'll tell you what to think about it. Go ahead.
I think it's a work in progress for sure. I mean, I think, you know, relationships aren't formed in a matter of a couple of days. You know, there's time where the respect grows and the communication follows. You know, I think the greatest relationships that you have, you know, with your friends and loved ones involve conversations that flow. You know, you can not talk to a close friend for a few months and pick up right where you left off. You know, there's no break in communication. There's no forced conversations, or you got to hit this person up because it's on your to-do list that day. You know, it's all about wanting to have those conversations and wanting to, you know, to be in conversation like that. And, you know, we've had a couple conversations and been positive conversations.
Keyshawn Johnson, ESPN NFL analyst. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin in the morning here on ESPN Radio. You heard Aaron Rodgers talking about Brian Gutekunst, Key. What do you think?
I mean, I'm Brian Gutekunst, Mark Murphy, and Aaron Rodgers out. I'm tired of that dog and pony show and that soap opera, to be honest with you. I mean, it is what it is. Aaron Rodgers is in camp. He's planning on playing this season, and I guess you could take it from there. Well, I mean, it's kind of, you know, it's like, whatever, man. Drama at its finest.
Right, but what's, but you're saying it is what it is, so what is it? What is, like, when Aaron Rodgers says, I'll tell you what I think about it, and then you can respond. When Aaron Rodgers says, you don't, like, when you know someone, when you have good communication back and forth, you can go a couple months without seeing them, you just pick up where you left off, like rolling out of bed. When it's not like, oh, this is on my to-do list, I have to call this person, it's forced. To me, that's Aaron Rodgers telling Gutekunst how to get right with him. He's saying, look, just like, you know, it doesn't have to be this formal. Let's just, you know, chop it up back and forth. You know, let's just stay in contact. And it shouldn't be a chore for you. You should want this. And Gutekunst,
to me, is a chore for him, though, because he doesn't want it. So
right.
Why force it?
Well, this is
now, why force it? Just let it be what it is.
Because Gutekunst's job right now, if I'm Murphy, I'm telling Gutekunst, your job right now is to force yourself to like it, like start liking it. Get in touch with Aaron Rodgers. Like, he's giving you, he's leaving breadcrumbs. Like, if you have any shot to keep him, this is how. And it seems like he's just unwilling to change, right? Like, Rodgers is,
well,
seems to be trying.
Maybe he doesn't want to be fake. Maybe he wants to be who he is and authentic and feels like he's not going to be fake just to appease Aaron Rodgers.
I agree with that. What I'm saying, Key, is the issue with Gutekunst is not to be fake. What I'm saying is, like, all these guys in the NFL, and as a longtime player, you know this, has its roots in the military. They like chain of command. They like players to stay in their lane. You know, all that kind of stuff. Don't want insubordination. Require humility from the players in so many different ways. It's just a business. Now it's time for a GM to apply that to himself. You've alienated a star player, the reigning MVP. You've alienated him. He doesn't want to be there because of you. Right? So now you got to do some soul searching. Look in the mirror. What do I have to do differently? How did it get to this place? And make some changes. And what you're saying is he don't want to be fake. He shouldn't be. He should change.
But my whole point, though, Max, what if he's looking in the mirror and he's saying it's Aaron Rodgers and it ain't him? What if he really believes that?
Right. That, you know what? You're absolutely right. He probably does. And that's the problem. That's why he's going to lose Rodgers. Because he really thinks it's Aaron Rodgers. Who do you think it is?
Man, to be honest with you, I really don't know. Because quarterbacks can be ultra sensitive all the way around. That's just the nature of the position and who they are. A lot of people try to, you know, baby them and try to act like that they're not sensitive and they're the leaders of the team. Quarterbacks can be pretty sensitive. They really could be. But also, general managers think they know every damn thing. So you got that, too, where general managers, they tend to always think that they got all the right answers. That's why a lot of them get fired, because they don't know and they don't have the answers. So, you know, I think it's on both sides, to be honest with you. I think it started off with the Packers organization not communicating with Aaron Rodgers about what they wanted to do long term moving forward when they drafted Jordan Love, instead of communicating with him and saying, hey, I think we're gonna take a quarterback at this pick. You know, doesn't mean anything to you. It's just 5 years from now, we want to be prepared just in case. That's all you got to do. It's simple and easy.
Keyshawn.
But they failed to do that.
Keyshawn Johnson, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin in the mornings here, right here on ESPN Radio. Key, will the Cowboys win the NFC East?
I think they will. I think the Cowboys will win the NFC East. I think if they stay healthy, that defense is retooled. I think they will, man. I think Dan Quinn is a hell of a defensive coordinator. You know, they got Michael Parsons over there, who's young, who's hungry. I mean, if you look at the Cowboys over the last several years, one of the biggest problems has been because of their defense. The defense, you know, giving up 40 points here, 38 there. I mean, you can't win games like that.
Now, this is what I really want to get to with you, because I haven't addressed this on the show yet. We debated it on First Take today. The Bucs are the favorites in the NFC, according to the odds makers, and according to most of the fans. They just won the Super Bowl. They're returning the whole team. Who is the biggest? Well, let me phrase it differently. I think the biggest threat to the Bucks is the Packers. But the argument against the Pack being the biggest threat, I think, is the Rams. Are the Rams the biggest threat to the Bucks in the NFC?
No.
Why not?
No, I think it's because I just don't think so. I don't think the Rams are a Super Bowl team. I think they are contending deep run playoff team, but I don't know that they're a Super Bowl team. A lot of things have happened with the Rams, right? First of all, defensively, they lose the defensive coordinator in Staley. The year before, they lost Wade Phillips. Brockers is there. Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey. They lose guys, Johnson in the secondary, Hill in the secondary. Although there's some other guys have some spot play, it's different when you're a spot play player versus a full-time player. When you're playing 17 weeks versus a few snaps, that's a huge difference. So I think they got a lot of proving to do on the defensive side of the ball. Everybody just automatically assumed that because they were good on defense last year, that losing the defensive coordinator and Joe Barry, the linebacker coach, they lose those guys, that all of a sudden it's roll in Raheem Morris and you're not going to miss a beat. I mean, Raheem Morris is not Buddy Ryan. I mean, Raheem Morris was not dialing up defenses like Bill Belichick. So, I think that's going to surprise a lot of people. And then do we really know what Matthew Stafford is?
No, we're going to find out. Really, I think, Key, I think there's more pressure on Stafford than anyone in the NFL this year because his whole legacy is on the line. Stafford always had big arm talent. Everyone's like, oh, it's too bad he's in Detroit. Well, now he's on a stacked team. And if he doesn't do anything in the playoffs, like, think of how much pressure. Let's say the Rams make the playoffs. I think they will. Think of how much pressure in that first playoff game. If Stafford can't win a playoff game, and in the playoffs it's tough, man. You might just, have a bad day, or the team's a little better than you, or matches up well, and you lose by a play. Could you imagine if Stafford doesn't win a playoff game this year? Like, then
yeah,
all of a sudden...
All those playoff games I've seen you playing, Max, yeah, it's really tough.
Well, have you ever seen me play Madden? Not that I ever did, but I put it in franchise mode and GM'd. One time I won a championship, GMing, simulating a season. I didn't repeat, but still.
All those playoff games are tough to play in and win.
They are.
Well, really? Which one did you play in?
Hold on. Are you really sitting there and telling me that you need to play in the playoffs to know that it's tough to win a playoff game, that you're playing a good team in the playoffs?
No.
Is that what you're telling me?
I'm just giving you a little bit of business, man. I don't think that way. Just because you hadn't played at the high level don't mean you don't know.
Now, listen. I think you're a little
salty.
You
don't know everything.
I think you're a little salty because my former radio partner beat you in a race one time. And I think that it's Key, in your prime, you could have beaten.
Now, here you go. So you get ready to sell fake news. Okay.
Wait, how is that fake news? All right. It's on video. It's on video.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You better stop lying to the listeners of the world, man.
Okay. What happened in the race with you and Marcellus?
Man, I won walking after I drank three margaritas, man.
Well, why would you drink three margaritas?
And then on top, because I didn't care. That's how disrespectful I was to him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he out there stretching, warming up. He got on spikes. I'm out there in regular tennis shoes, just chilling, drinking margaritas, enjoying the fans. Beat him in a race and let up. I let up.
Okay, now
run all
I know
things.
Marcellus
and
well.
Then,
I...
Wait, and then hold on, and then hold on, and then on top of that, he said, "Man, let's run it back one more time." I run it back and basically stop, and he used a photo. He put out that photo, making it seem like he beat me. I'm like, when you lose in the race, man, nobody gives you another opportunity to run again.
Now, wait.
They don't do it like that.
I know Marcellus very well because we did a show together for half a decade, okay? Let me tell you what Marcellus would say.
Where is he at?
Let me tell you what Marcellus would say. He's on the, what do you call it, the Witness Protection Network? Listen.
Yeah, who is he still on air? Because I don't even know where that guy is.
This is what Marcellus would say. He's not communicating with me or anything like about that. I'm just saying, this is what Marcellus would say. When you're drinking the margaritas, you're building in an excuse, Key. Just in case if that happens that you lost the race, you can say, look, I was drinking margaritas. To that, you say what?
Do you really think I lost that race? Do you honestly, in your heart of hearts, think that I lost to Marcellus?
I saw the video. I couldn't tell who won. I thought it was very close.
Oh, God, stop.
Guys, I will say this. I was Keyshawn's coach. I was in his corner. And I will say this. Before the race, Keyshawn came over to me and nailed three margaritas right in front of my face. And I said, Key, what you doing, man? You're about to race. And he had some regular shoes on, some little Adidas, and he went out and did the thing. So he is not lying about the margaritas.
All right. Keyshawn Johnson, we've laughed, we've cried, we've learned. Tremendous talking to you as always. Thanks, Key. Appreciate it.
Go find Marcellus.
Said an APB out for a 300-pounder. All right, listen. Coming up, I got some questions about the Lakers' offseason moves. No one better to ask. I've been wanting to get her on for a couple days now than Ramona Shelburne. According to Forbes, gym, stores, and more are set to go on an epic hiring spree to meet the pent-up demand for all those services. Businesses reopening means that millions of jobs will need to be filled. So where do they turn to fill those roles fast? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's technology is so effective. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. You can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Kellerman. That's ZipRecruiter.com/KELLERMAN.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, Sirius XM Channel 80, wherever you get your podcasts, your smart speaker, 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776, The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance, on the Goodyear Hotline. Boy, I've been trying to get you on for a couple days, Ramona. Ramona Shelburne, ESPN NBA senior writer. Ramona, I have several questions for you. Okay, you ready?
Yeah, go for it. Are we doing
you come loaded? Here we go.
Yeah, let's go. Let's
first
go.
One. I'm trying to figure out why LeBron would delete the tweet. The tweet was harmless. It was garden variety, run of the mill.
Yeah.
By deleting it, you draw attention to it. There was nothing controversial in it. Why did he delete it?
So I actually think this is more social media savvy, because when you tweet something like that, people just retweet that for years. But if you delete it and then they try to like quote tweet it or respond to it, it says this tweet has been deleted. So you actually have to take a screenshot of it, and it just makes it easier to you know, it makes it harder on them to retweet you and comment on it like 3 months later. That's what I'm saying.
It's just he doesn't want to hear it later. He doesn't. It's like a don't at me in practice.
Yeah. Don't at me all the time. Yeah.
Right. Don't at me. Got it. Okay, that makes some sense. I was thinking maybe he was trying to draw attention to it by deleting it.
I mean, it would happen anyway. You know, but my favorite part of it, though, is a couple of years ago, he was going on his social media stuff, and he goes, you know, he was calling himself the Wash King. Remember, hashtag Wash King.
Yeah.
And I was like, did anybody ever call him the Wash King?
No,
like,
and everyone thinks the Lakers are going to be great. Everyone thinks the Lakers are going to be great. What's he talking about? So, Ramona, here's another question I had for you.
Yeah.
The Lakers didn't re-sign Alex Caruso. They didn't match his offer, right? And I have a theory about it, but I want you to answer first. Caruso had some trade value because the Lakers really need trading chits, right? They don't have a ton of draft picks left. They've traded a lot of them. They don't have a lot of commodities that people want, especially after the Westbrook trade, other than Talen Horton-Tucker. And Caruso, to me, would seem to have value on the trade market. You have to match the salary and then trade him for something. Why didn't the Lakers do that? Why did they let one of their assets walk out the door? Were they unable to trade the contract, or the sim rule that they wouldn't be able to sign and trade? What is it?
Well, you know, I think it really is just a luxury tax issue. They had a chance to do that.
Yep.
You know, Caruso had several offers, right? One was with the Bulls that was not a sign and trade, and that's actually the one he preferred. But he did have another... He did have another offer from the Minnesota Timberwolves that would have been a sign and trade. The Timberwolves would have even taken back Marc Gasol, which could have saved the Lakers a little bit, but theoretically they could have had to send somebody out and take somebody back in. But the Lakers are paying more luxury tax than they have ever paid. They are going to be one of the highest luxury tax teams in the league. And Max, it's not a cheapness thing. Like, literally this team will cost over $200 million between salary and luxury tax. And so, you know, you can go and create that cap space. You can create a trade exception that you can use later. You saw the Celtics did that last year when they lost Gordon Hayward, and they ended up using that. But you can do that, but you end up having to spend that money somewhere. That just goes on your luxury tax bill. And so when you're that far over the tax, every dollar you spend is $3. So
right, three and a quarter.
The extra $8 million. Yeah, three and a quarter. So it's like going to Starbucks
million.
And buying a $10 latte.
Or 33, 34 million. Okay, I said before that's what I thought. I can't. That's not even true. It's that's what I feared.
Yeah.
That's what I feared. It's like the luxury tax, the repeater tax, or the or when you're past a certain threshold, is you know, is prohibitive, right? Like at a certain point, the marginal, but the Lakers, that's really saying something because the Lakers, the Buss family, has always been willing to pay it if it makes them better. And they must have looked at this and just thought, whatever we can get for Alex Caruso, it is like, even though we want a competitive advantage, it's not worth us spending an extra 30-something million dollars. How often does that happen with the Lakers? Not often, especially during the seemingly, you'd think, the tail end of when LeBron is still an elite player, when they've got Westbrook, when they've got Anthony Davis, you would think they give LeBron every advantage, but here they're watching their wallet.
Yeah, a little bit. And some of this, I want to look at it from a long lens, okay? So on the one hand, you say, well, they don't have a trade exception here that they can use later. But on the other hand, when they made the decision, they did offer Caruso a contract. They offered him 3 years, about $7 million a year, $21 million. That's obviously well below what he was going to get. He really wanted to stay in L.A. He came back eventually and said, I'll do 3 years and 30, even after he had the offers from everybody else. But they said, we just can't do that. And I think they knew they were going to re-sign Talen Horton-Tucker for a lot of money. They potentially could do a sign-and-trade with Dennis Schroeder eventually. And as we go deeper into this year, there are other things that they can do. So let's, as much as I want to say, yeah, it's I've never seen the Lakers do that. They have so much money coming on their local TV deal. They make tons of money at Staples Center. Let's see what they continue to do, because there could be more moves in the future for them, not just right now, but throughout the year, which drives the luxury tax bill up even more. And so I think they're looking at it from if we could turn Alex Caruso into Kendrick Nunn, Malik Monk, Wayne Ellington, I mean, that turned out pretty good for them. Right. And they ended up using their taxpayer mid-level. And they're not the only contender who did that. Like, the Bucks did that with P.J. Tucker. They wanted to keep P.J. Tucker. He would have liked to stay there. He was upset. He was sad to leave. You saw his post. But
The three hedge fund guys. Yeah. The three hedge fund guys who let Malcolm Brogdon walk. I mean, they won a championship only because everyone else got hurt. Like, they wouldn't have won otherwise. And they also let P.J. Tucker walk. There's rich hedge fund guys that aren't rich enough, apparently, to own an NBA team properly. But it's hard to say that, of course, when they won the title, the lucky title that they won.
Yeah, the great won the Ramona title, Shelburne. Built an arena there, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. The great Ramona Shelburne. Ramona, we have run out of time.
Oh, that's it? Okay.
But I thank you for coming.
You can ask me anything.
Okay, but I know with the Lakers, you're going to give me the right answer. And I appreciate the info, Ramona. I was scratching my head on the Caruso thing, but it makes sense, that luxury tax bill. I think it's something to chop up, guys, though, you know, right? Like, not willing to pay the
extra. Yeah, I've never seen it myself.
LeBron needs the help.
Thanks,
Ramona. Appreciate it.
You got it, Max.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle auto, home, or motorcycle insurance. Visit progressive.com. Coming up, Pittsburgh Steelers team preview. They're in the Hall of Fame game, and it's an excuse to preview them the way we previewed the Cowboys in the first hour. You know what's not healthy? Stressing about work, or maybe you're out of work. It's time to stop worrying and hit the reset button. You can start a new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months from the comfort of your own home, even if you have zero computer experience. Go to mycomputercareer.edu. Take the free career evaluation today. Live online classes meet just twice a week. Financial aid, including the GI Bill, is available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
It might be the offseason, but you just can't get enough from the NFL.
What if Belichick would have left and Brady would have stayed in New England?
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin can't get enough of it.
New England wasn't going to no damn Super Bowl. They weren't going to the playoffs.
Tomorrow, starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN2, and on the ESPN app.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, Sirius XM Channel 80, about to do the Steelers team preview. Hall of Fame game coming up. 888-SAY-ESPN 729-3776. Download the Overheard podcast for curiously delightful conversations. Overheard around National Geographic's headquarters, presented by the City Advantage Platinum Select Card, the card built for your next adventure. All right, so the Steelers. Everyone's talking about the Najee Harris draft, the first running back taken in the draft, and what that means for their running game. I'm not so sure. I think Najee Harris is a big talent, and he's their RB1, right? But that's not the issue they had last year. Now, Villanueva, who will not be there, Villanueva's gone. They have to move that kid that was pretty good on the right side over to the left side this year. Or Okorafor, what's his name? Over to the right, over to the left side. That's now Roethlisberger's blind side protection. I mean, the line, if anything, maybe got worse. Right? Now, they, you know, Marquise Pouncey retired, and I get it. When guys retire, you don't bring a guy back. It's because you think someone else can do the job better. Maybe they got better. But Villanueva's good, and he's still good, and he's not there. And if you know, the reason he was left tackle and Okorafor, if that's how you pronounce his name, was on the right side, was because Villanueva was better. Now they move the right tackle to the left side. Okay. They had a problem running the ball because their offensive line wasn't good. I've heard Villanueva say part of that is the offensive philosophy. If you don't run it a lot, it's not consistent. The line will be worse blocking for the run. Nevertheless, you have an aging quarterback whose line can't protect him well, so he has to get the ball out quickly. Roethlisberger did a very good job of that, especially considering he wasn't that kind of quarterback at all throughout his career. He held the ball. He took punishment. He took big chances down the field. All of a sudden, he's dinking and dunking, getting it out quick. Good for him. Quite an evolution. Like, that's how you do it. But it's a bad combination when you can't protect the quarterback. The receivers don't have time to get down the field. They have a pretty good receiving core. It's not bad. And on top of that, teams are playing up because they know you can't run. Like, you know, they're playing up on Roethlisberger because he's dinking and dunking. And you're trying to run the ball behind a bad offensive line, and the defense is already up on you. That's worse for your running game. So, I don't know if any of that's changed. But people who think, like, oh, they're going to finish under 500, I'll believe it when I see it. Because Mike Tomlin, in his career, including a season without Roethlisberger and without a good offense, has never been below 500. Now, there are 17 games this season. I said the Cowboys are going to be 9-8, 8-9. I'll take 9-8 for the Cowboys. I'll take the exact same thing for Pittsburgh. I think Tomlin will will them to, and their defense also, will will them to more wins than losses, but barely. And I also think, like the Cowboys, who are favored by most to win the NFC East. I like the Giants in the NFC East. Have I mentioned that, Raj?
No one cares.
And I think the Cowboys have a good chance to finish third in that division. Giants, Washington, Cowboys, Eagles. But I think much like that, the Steelers, who've run the NFC North, right? Certainly over the Browns. Little brothers come up in the world. I think the Browns are better than the Steelers. I think the Ravens are better than the Steelers. And only the hapless Cincinnati Bengals keep the Steelers from the basement in the AFC North. I think the Steelers, in a tough division. You know, the Bengals are no good. It's a bad organization. But they do have Joe Burrow, who is going to be a superstar, I believe, if he stays healthy. I think he's really good. He's going to be at least a really good quarterback. And they got him the best receiver they thought available in the draft, who's a hell of a receiver. And they and you know, he's going to have guys to throw the ball to. So they've come up in the world a little bit. But the Ravens are legit, and the Browns are legit. Sal Palantonio, ESPN NFL reporter, of course, on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, on the Steelers running game.
Here's the key thing. Ben said to me that the mandate from Art Rooney Jr. on down, from Kevin Colbert, the GM, on down, from the head coach on down, to the new offensive coordinator, Matt Canada, on down, is we will run the football. They will go back to their roots. They'll go back to those Steelers teams that Bart Scott faced in the playoffs back in the day. This is going to be a run-first offense. Now, okay, can you do that with a reconfigured offensive line? Well, you better be able to do it, because you really can't have a 39-year-old quarterback have a rushing attack that's averaging only 84 yards per game.
Sal Powell's, of course, right. And I also do believe what Villanueva says. It can be a mindset running the ball. And I think they'll get a little better running the ball, but not enough to be an excellent team on offense. Don't miss UFC 265 this Saturday as Houston's hometown hero Derek Lewis faces off with unbeaten Ciryl Gane for the interim heavyweight title. UFC 265 is exclusively available to ESPN Plus subscribers for $69.99. Visit ESPNPlus.com/pay-per-view. ESPNPlus.com/PPV. Let me tell you something. I'm going to Houston tomorrow because I want to be there for this one. I actually asked onto this broadcast because, and it's Derek Luce, the hometown guy, the feel-good story, but Ciryl Gane is considered by more than a few to be the baddest man on the planet, and he just needs time to prove it. He's undefeated in the UFC. And if he beats Derek Luce for the interim title, he might be favored against John Jones or Ngannou or anyone. This is a big-time fight. A big-time fight. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.